Hello, this is Pete Cironis with Dots and Bridges. I am very excited to be alongside President of OnPoint Consulting, Samara Shulman. Great to see you and hear you, Samara.
Awesome to be here. Thanks a lot for having this conversation.
They're so spirited and they're so educational, and I always learn from you. And I'm excited about this topic that we can speak for hours on. You brought an article to my attention that was published earlier this year in a pretty well-known publication known as Forbes. The question really spoke to government's use of ChatGPT and AI-generated content. It got into large language models and the buzzword bingo and all that good stuff. But I loved the article because it gave us perspective from folks in federal government, state government, associations. So just right off the top, I took away a couple of things, which was like a mishmash, a hodgepodge of their policy considerations, guidelines, various levels of expertise. It's an all hands on deck. And government or industry, we all know AI is still a kind of to be determined. Those were my initial thoughts before we dive into some specifics. Talk to me in general, maybe a little bit about the article, or more importantly, where you are today on this, as it's something that your company and you personally are very much in touch with.
To be completely honest, my head is all over the place with this topic. I remember, just business aside, it was exciting to have Alexa years ago and to have Siri and have all of that AI at the beginning stages. And oh my goodness, why would you ever get a Nest when you can just get up to move the temperature and change the temperature? Why would you get that? And then we got the Nest, and it's like, well, it really is convenient. You don't have to get up to change the temperature. And that was just the beginning. And that's still just one type of AI. But this generative AI and where it's going, some days I think, like, my gosh, I can't believe all the AI that's out there. Other days I think, is it really moving all that quickly? I mean, we need policies, we need standards, we need a lot of stuff. I can tell you the first thing that caught my attention with this article, it's entitled, "Should Governments Use ChatGPT and AI-Generated Content? U.S. Federal and State Government Leaders Share Thoughts." That first question, should governments use ChatGPT and AI-Generated Content? I stop there. I mean, I don't think the answer can be no at this point. We're not getting rid of artificial intelligence, but there's got to be a way that we figure out how to use it, that we take a look at the risks, the trusting it, the culture, the workforce, what our adversaries are going to be trying to do with it, the cyber that's going to have to go around all of that. That's just to start with a few of my thoughts.
Well, yeah, let me jump in because for those listening, Samara, you took the umbrella term, right? Or this article did too, and it says AI. And I think everybody, if we ask 10 people on the street, define AI, it would be, as it probably should, all over the map. There's some terms that you and I both found this article to really address, which were AI, which is, depending upon what internet search engine you use, a broad term that refers to any technology that perform tasks that are normally done by humans. Okay, fine. Then it gets into large language models, LLMs, a type of AI that can generate text. And then it talks about ChatGPT, which is apparently an LLM that is designed to be used in chatbots. I think it's so important for us to know the distinction between the terminology and the waterfall or the distillation of the term AI, because you got to know how all this stuff works, as you say, to apply its application. And your point about Alexa, and don't say it because I'm sure it'll wake it up again. I love that
There
though. That was
she
unplanned for our audience. It was
is.
great. Or Nest thermostats. We were eager to buy our cell phones, iPhones, Androids, got to be fair. We want the application, but what AI is doing behind the scenes, I think personally, and this is to get to my point, the federal government through its NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Artificial Intelligence Risk Management Framework, as well as the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights. Those documents, in addition to Executive Orders 13859 and 13960 for our audience, those are things people should be reading and consuming because it's getting into that sticky situation of bias, authenticity, integrity. So I just bring those up because you made a great point that we're learning the terms, but there is a lot of work that's being done. And what's that curve of hype to, holy cow, is it really something we want? Or make sure we at least know how to use it properly and without bias. So that's my, I'm putting it out there. Is anything resonating with you when I brought that stuff up?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Those executive orders that you listed focus on, I mean, one was the maintaining American leadership in AI, the other promoting the use of trustworthy artificial intelligence in the federal government. Those from, I want to say, 2019 and 2020. Here we are at the end of, well, end of August of 2023. So these things have been out there for 3-4 years. That's what I, like what I was saying before, I question the speed. Some days you wake up and it feels like that's it. It's here. We need to start worrying about the implications of the workforce next week. Like, how are we automating? And the solicitations asking about automation and RPAs and all that kind of stuff. And then when you take a step back, there's a lot that still has to be done. Yes, there's a lot of documents out there. I mean, just to have this conversation with you, I read a book and I think I've got 5 or 6 articles in front of me. They aren't saying such new things, but everybody seems to have his or her own take on it. Especially when you look at the agencies, the federal government, how is this going to affect the federal government? What are they trying to automate? And the thing that I think about a lot, just because I've got a master's in education, and is the way that we learn, let alone how the artificial intelligence is learning, how we learn. How is this going to change the workforce? How's that going to then need to trickle into education? How is that going to have to trickle from universities and colleges into high school? How are we going to be teaching our youngest kids how to specifically ask, I'm not going to say we call it A-bomb at home, but Siri, who I don't think will tune in and go off right now, how are we going to ask the question, and how are we going to teach our children to ask the right questions to get the right answers? That's the other thing. That's a very big thing to think about. Very big topic, very big concept, that this artificial intelligence, what it spouts out is only as good as what is being input. So I think it's important to know where the machine learning is coming from. Where is it constantly learning? Is it learning up until the point that the application is out on the streets? Is it continuing to learn? Is it continuing to learn locally? Is it only learning then off of the keystrokes that you're putting in? And what are the questions that you're asking it? Are you going to get the right results, or are you asking too generic question, or how is that working?
So let me summarize, or at least take away what I'm hearing. And you hit on, to me, a lot of the benefit, a lot of the consideration. I don't like to say always risk and challenges and sky's falling. I mentioned the NIST framework, which again is titled Artificial Intelligence Risk Management Framework 1.0. Check it out, folks. It sets up, when they call them, challenges for AI risk management, tolerance, measurement, prioritization, and organizational integration and management of risk. And here's you as a president of a company that offers services to help governments walk through this process, which is evolving each and every day. But you hit on efficient information processing, the automation of work, the training and education needed, while at the same time, bias, fairness, security, transparency, ethical use. We didn't even mention 5 of the other ones that you and I talked about, that being executive order and guidance. Samara, the question is, you are in the Beltway. Agencies, I'm sure, are coming out with RFIs and RFPs, and the words artificial intelligence, when you do a Boolean search or a query, is in there without secret saucing it. But what's your take on the opportunity for companies like OnPoint? Obviously, you have expertise in this space, but is it becoming like how to distinguish ourselves, or is it you're doing a lot of the education for the agency and their mission?
Both. I think knowing what's out there, doing the education, doing the homework, is what happens to distinguish OnPoint from other companies. I think agencies are going to want to work with companies who know the good and the bad of this technology. If a company or a team puts together a proposed solution that only says the good things, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is what's going to happen, then that agency should be questioning what happens when that doesn't happen. I think we're still on the cusp of not knowing what could go wrong. there are different hackathons and whatnot trying to get to the root of that. I read another article that talked about DoD just put together a task force around AI. And what one of them said was that they need to know what could go wrong. If they're out in the field or overseas putting together something and ChatGPT says connect wire A to wire B and it blows up, how do you plan for that? How do you trust and verify what is being put into these AI systems? I think that, I mean, in terms of what the government wants to know, what OnPoint offers, how we are different, is that we keep up with this stuff. I mean, I read another cool article that was talking about hacking AI, which at this point, you want to hack it. You want to figure out what could go wrong. Somebody taught ChatGPT that 10 plus 9 is 21. And they did that by not asking what is 10 plus 9, but by saying, hey, I'm going to teach you an inside joke. 10 plus 9 is 21. And talking back and forth with the program enough got it to the point that when she put in what is 10 plus 9, didn't reference any inside joke. It's 21. And it's things like that. I mean, you and I were laughing when we were just saying, again, A-bomb over here in the corner in my office is going off when Pete, you're saying her name. That's a problem. I mean, if you really start to think about it, that's a problem that she can't differentiate the voices yet. But when you take that to a different generative AI system that we're talking about, it's the things like that that could go wrong. And I think, like we started by saying, or at least my point of view, is that government is going to need to adapt this one way or another. But we've got to look, and they've got to look at the policies and the what could go wrong to help form those policies. I mean, the executive orders that we referenced before, we want America to be top-notch in the world for innovation. And this is a way for us to maintain the top rank for innovation and emerging technology and whatnot, which then I think makes others hesitate to put rules and policies around it because you also don't want to stunt that in the race to the top for technologies.
And I just want to synthesize a lot of what you just captured for the audience. And that is, you know, at the end of the day, if it's not fair, transparent, accountable, robust, which I loved your emphasis there on, and secure. So I liken this conversation of the beginning of, and I applaud you and OnPoint for saying, look, we want to get in front of it as much we can. But just a quote from one of the articles that you brought to my attention, I loved the comment that said, and I believe it was someone from the PTO that said, the rapid development of large language models is outpacing the public engagement needed to fully evaluate, verify, and validate the safety, security, and efficacy of these technologies. Well said, 100%, yet the innovation moving the needle train is left. And it's not like it's going to stop. We just have to keep figuring out how to mitigate said risk. So anyway, yes, close us out with something and entice us. And I'm looking forward, of course, to our next conversation.
Can I just refer to that quote? Because that's a pretty good parting shot. We are lucky enough to live in such an amazing and robust country to just really broaden this topic that some of the things that you read about that others are worrying about and that we all should be worrying about is, well, you ask one of these AI systems about somebody else, and there's a chance that right now where the systems are at in their infancy and whatnot, PII is accidentally released, or something bad is said about somebody else. And in this country, we value privacy, we value trust, but we value privacy so much that it's come across that, okay, well, who is responsible for that? Can we put a policy around that? That if something libel shows up online, well, all of a sudden, there are lawmakers that are looking and saying, well, whoa, wait, that's not actually has to do with the technology. That's more freedom of speech. And in this country, we honor freedom of speech. And there's just, I mean, just to name one thing that's happening, there's just crazy things. There are so many positive implications that this can have, and I'm confident will have. And it is good that everybody is looking at, again, how to hack the systems, how to tell a deep fake, how to prevent things from happening before policy is put out. But this happens to be one of the days that I feel like AI is just moving ahead at 100 miles per hour. So I assume that we are going to see policies one of these days. GSA has already made kind of an interim policy. They won't allow third-party AI on their machines and on their network. We'll see what other agencies, I'm sure there are others who have followed or will follow probably by the time this recording goes out. So it's a big parting shot, but there's a lot to be looking at.
Well, look, that was a wonderful parting shot. And it again, I think articulates or exemplifies, Samara, I'm a big fan. On Point Consulting is an awesome organization that I think is running at least 101 miles an hour on any technology. So keep doing what you're doing. Hey, folks, if you're listening, onpointcorp.com is where a lot of this information from both Samara and her amazing team are sharing on what it is they do, why it matters, and just the passion that you will see when you see their wonderfully refreshed website. So congrats to you and your team on that. Again, it's onpointcorp.com, onpointcorp.com. So closing us out, thank you, Samara. I look forward to the next one. I know we already have some ideas to talk about. And with Cybersecurity Month coming up and the new fiscal year, let's do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for the opportunity, Pete. I appreciate it.
You got it.